there, and welcome to this episode of A Couple Takes on MS. Hi, I'm Dan Digman.
And hi, it's me, Jennifer Digman.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS. I'm walking.
And I'm rolling.
But together, we're moving forward. And we're moving forward today. I mean, when all is said and done, we want to talk about the crap gap. The crap gap is things and delays and loss of function and tiredness and everything when you're living with and taking a disease modifying therapy, and just how between infusions every 6 months you feel run down and everything. We're going to get into that because that's a big deal for us, and we know a lot of people in the MS community. But speaking of being run down, I think part of it is a crap gap, or is it because we've just been really, really busy?
We've been really, really busy, and we're not as young as we used to be. But again, I think it's that we've just been really, really busy in the last few weeks. So it's been a long time. But it's been just 14 days. So
it's been a run. I mean, obviously we're talking about going 5 hours down to Columbus, Ohio to see Bruce Springsteen, and in that 3 hour concert. That's pretty epic.
That was pretty epic. And then we did that, but we also had my Rituxan infusion.
Yes.
And it was Older Michiganians Day, which is an opportunity for us to advocate for programs that deal a lot with my home care in the state capital.
Oh, yeah. And I hurt my back.
Yeah, we can't forget that.
Okay,
because
yes.
Then we missed the Styx concert because my baby had a hurt back. And that was trouble. And no, yeah, that's right. You were maintaining your career and going to graduate school.
Oh, yeah.
And being my full-time caregiver.
Well, that explains a lot.
Yeah, that explains a lot.
Oh, yeah. And then we were out late for, it was a local event for the Care Store event, that fundraising. It was so incredible and such a fun night. But that's...
Oh, yeah. But speaking of fundraising, don't forget Walk MS.
See? And that's just 2 weeks, dude. So no wonder we're so exhausted. But
and we're exhausted a lot because we live with MS. But then we're also pretty big advocates.
Yeah, I was going to say then, as far as being run down and being advocates, I mean, in terms of things and events that run us down, this was so engaging, so empowering. But today was the Michigan State Action Day for the National MS Society.
And that was our opportunity to get our voice heard. We listened to some speaking and met with some other advocates. It was a virtual event. And our biggest issue today was about step therapy. And just the fact that we need our Michigan legislators to support step therapy reform. And Dan, what is step therapy?
Well, step therapy is when your doctor prescribes medication, but because of insurance or everything like that, there are things where they force you to take regardless what your doctor prescribes you. I mean, there's so many issues and elements with this. And yes, we will have info on this in our liner notes about step therapy in this particular legislation. But it's like, you know, what I had talked about is just, if you pretend that you're at a forest, or you're coming up on a forest and you see that, 100 acres of 10,000 acres, 100 acres is on fire, and you have a 32-ounce glass of water, or you have a hose hooked up to a fire hydrant, what are you going to choose to put out the fire? Well, of course, you're going to take the hose and the fire hydrant rather than the cup, because you've got to keep the blaze contained before it hits all the other parts of the forest. And that's kind of with step therapy is, you have to, some insurances, you're given, prescribed like a big, powerful medicine, but insurance forces you to try other medications that maybe not as effective, but you have to have those fail before you get stepped up to that level of what your doctor prescribed for you. And I mean, this is just one example, but it's like the step therapy reform will make it so, you know,
your doctor can give you that big fire hose to begin with. You don't start with the little less effective medications. And this is especially true for MS.
And the one thing, just talking about it, just in sum, it's like for the diseases such as MS, prolonging an effective treatment and delaying access to the right treatment may result in increased disease activity, loss of function, and possible irreversible progression of disability. And so really then what the ask for this is to ask, you know, our state representatives to support House Bill 5339 so individuals living with MS can have access to their doctor-prescribed medication in a timely manner. And again, we will have information about this in our liner notes for this. And just because you didn't make it to today's virtual MS State Action Day, if you are a resident of Michigan, you still can get involved and reach out to your legislator. How can I do that?
You could reach out to your legislator certainly by clicking on the link in our show notes, but also just get involved. Stay in contact. You don't have to be a Michigan resident to participate in advocacy with the National MS Society. And that's a great resource to know what issues are coming up and being discussed. And step therapy reform has happened in, 29 states.
Yep.
And that step therapy reform has saved money, believe it or not. I mean, it makes sense, but to legislators or pharmaceuticals, they may want you to go through a number of steps and fail with less effective drugs. But if you can get the big guns straight from the beginning, you save money and certainly you save our health. So that's why we hope that if you're a Michigan resident, boy, that's tough to say.
I was going to say three times real fast.
Yeah, if you're a Michigan resident, you'll click on the link and get your voice heard. And if you're not from Michigan, but you're listening to this and you want to get involved with the National MS Society, we highly recommend just looking for them and getting some support you need and giving some support to the MS community.
And we then, too, will have links in the liner notes for how you collectively can get involved as an MS activist. And so it's been a really busy few weeks, but we want to talk about a few other things.
Best.
And here we are, I think, now as we're getting ready to plan a trip to Iowa because our nephew's graduating today. And
congratulations,
the open house.
Ryan.
Absolutely. Congratulations, Ryan. And we will be there for the open house party.
Two weeks. Yeah. So life does move pretty fast. And you know, congratulations. We know a number of wonderful people whose children are graduating who aren't children. They're
high school graduates.
Graduates. So congratulations, Abby, Isabel, Wiley, Al. Good heavens. And then to Ryan again.
Yeah.
So.
And that, I think that's where really a lot with the events and everything that's happening is really what sparked what we're taking on today. And we are taking on the crap gap. And that's for anybody, like people in the MS world who are on like infusions pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But it is, the crap gap is the feeling of, I don't know if we have like a formal definition, but I take comfort in that there is research being done on this. And it's just a question of just as you're taking, like for us, infusions every 6 months is like maybe come about like after the fourth and a half, fifth month, you start feeling a little off. Things, you know, your symptoms seem greater, more intense.
And for those of you who are not in the MS community all the time, we, many of us with multiple sclerosis, take disease-modifying therapies, which are intended to slow down the frequency of relapses or to lessen the severity of said relapses, just to slow the disease down. And there are, as Dan mentioned, infusion therapies that we go and have every 6 months. Both Dan and I take medication, and there is that at about the 5 month mark where you can tell them that the medicine's wearing off and your symptoms, your everyday symptoms, seem a little more aggressive, a little more mean.
Relentless.
Relentless, good word.
That's dramatic, but just for transparency, clarity, and everything, and this is not an endorsement of the medications. It's just stating the fact that I'm on Ocrevus.
And I use Rituxan.
And those are both IV medications that, again, every 6 months. And, you know, I had been taking an injectable for 20-some years, and it just, I was running out of places to shoot myself because this, the scar tissue over time. But what's happened with Jennifer and my infusions, we've been able to sync things up to where we are pretty well around the same time. And Jennifer, for her infusion, she has to take it twice. So she goes in one day for a round, and then 2 weeks later gets another round. Whereas when I go in, I just need to go once, you know, just for that one treatment. I think the last time we did it, it truly, my infusion was sandwiched between your two infusions. Mm-hmm. But that's where I think, now that I've been on the Ocrevus for, I think this will be my seventh infusion. Yeah, isn't that crazy?
Time flies.
But anyway, it's just like, I'm noticing it more now than I ever have, because I've heard about the crab cap, and I've read everybody out there in the MS community who are on these kinds of medicines talking the crab cap, and I had never noticed anything before. But this time around, I think I'm feeling it.
And when you feel it, that, of course, you know, you're incredibly busy right now. You have a 40-hour-a-week full-time job. You're a graduate student. You are my full-time caregiver. And when you feel it, that will have some trickle-down effect, certainly on other things that you'll kind of put on the back burner. You'll say, oh, it's not so important to do this. But one thing that you will never say is not so important to do is being my caregiver. And we had an experience.
Had an incident.
had an incident.
It happens, you know. Mm-hmm. But transferring Jennifer, I did something to my back. It's like something, and I think when Jennifer said, I think I heard something pop. It's just the transferring, and there was one time where I really, really did a number on my back, and I couldn't even stand, like 6, 7, 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. And this wasn't like that. I mean, I still could walk, but I just could not transfer you. And that's where we're blessed to have a Hoyer lift and a sit to stand that I could at least get you, you know, transfer you in the interim. And God bless your caregiver, Jen, who's here during the day, was able. Then I, you know, because I could not do anything as far as transfers, but it just raised the question of, was that a side effect? Was that an impact of a crap cap? Or was it just, I don't know.
I think timing for us, we were so incredibly busy, as we're talking about, and your commitments, and then, you know, as you said, we're sandwiched together with our our treatments, I think it was a perfect storm. And you know, anybody can imagine, you lift me up and I stand. And that's how I pivot transfer into bed or in the bathroom. And that's when we heard the pop. I prefer to say that Dan tweaked his back.
I did. I think it was more of a tweak, but I mean, certainly in the lower back. And then that takes away any level of being able to stand you up, and you don't want to do anything to make it worse than it was.
And so we managed for a week, and we put a lot of things that seem really important at the time, like, oh, we have to go do this, or they need us here. When you tweak your back, babe, we're like, they'll be all right without us. And so we managed that way. And like you said, we use the Hoyer lift or the sit to stand. I will put links in the show notes with just so you can understand what I'm talking about. But those pieces of equipment have been lifesavers. And if you transfer your spouse or your loved one or a parent with a sit to stand or a Hoyer lift, just take a note from Dan and Jennifer. Practice before you get injured, because it's good to have those skills, those transfer skills sharpened up, so that you don't just end up laying there frustrated, or your spouse is frustrated, because you remember how to do that. And if you need to watch a video or have somebody like help you remember how to do it, do it while you're healthy, so it's not in a high pressure situation.
And you talk about it being a perfect storm and just the situation, because that was, you were just on the cusp, the precipice, if you will.
Before,
because you got your Rituxan, like it was scheduled like a week and a half before that happened. And so then it's a question of, as we're talking about crap gaps, do you, because you've been on the Rituxan more than I've been on my Ocrevus, do you ever encounter the crap gap?
That's a really good question. And in all honesty, because I am so, I don't like to use the word limited, but there are so many things I don't do for myself. I don't notice it as much. But now I've come to think of it, if I'm not standing well, you know, if I'm having trouble locking my knees or just holding myself up, I know that that makes those transfers more difficult. And when it gets to be about the 5-month mark, good heavens, now that we're really having this conversation, I do think I have a little more trouble like locking my knees or holding myself up. And I've had my Rituxan infusion just last week. Good heavens, gosh, that was only a week ago. And I had a little dose of steroids. So, of course, I felt like a superstar. And those transfers went really well, which was good. So I think, yes, I feel a little sluggish, a little let down. It may be, again, that 5-month mark, but not in the way that I've read with Ocrevus or some of those medications.
Because reading something, we'll have a link also to that, to the article about the crap gap on our liner notes for this episode, but just saying how I think Tysabri was one of them too, but just how it's more the infusions than like injectables. And let me just throw this out to listener land. I mean, have you encountered anything like the crap gap? And I mean, what has your experience been like with that? And let us know. Send us a note, a question, your experience to our email is acoupletakesonms@gmail.com, or look us up on our website is acoupletakesonms. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's interesting. I went to Dan and I also participate in an online a peer-led support group called ANCAN, which we've probably mentioned in the past. But we were having a group meeting last week, and I brought up the fact that you had tweaked your back, babe.
Thanks.
And well, it's my support group. That's what say, you need
like
is support.
Marriage relationship HIPAA does not make.
Just to talk. And I had mentioned that, and one of the women in the group had talked about the fact that she was feeling that gap where she was like at the 3 month mark starting to feel a lot weaker, a lot slower. Her symptoms that she lives with every day seemed more intense. So she went on a different form of medication. She's no longer using one of those every 6 month infusions. And she seems to be doing well. So I think that's an important lesson to talk with your neurologist, talk about potentially changing medications, because there are, you know, nearly 26 MS drugs right on the market. So you have options, and don't settle if you're feeling like you're not managing your multiple sclerosis.
And that's what was the interesting thing, because after being on an injectable for 20 plus years, so you're taking a shot every other day, I had never really experienced anything like the crap gap, as it were. And I think that's what the article and the research that we've seen about it. It's really just as far as, you know, the decline in medication in your system. But that's where I'm just, it's my interpretation of what I read. So read the research that we'll have links for on our liner notes.
And Dan and I are often, we don't want to point to the medication. We don't want to point to the disease progression without looking at ourselves. What are we doing? As I've mentioned, you know, we've been busy. I was not being as diligent with my physical therapy, with my exercise, with my stretching. So perhaps that was something. We're wearing our watches, and we're trying to get at least 7 hours of sleep a night, because that's important. So when something like this happens, it's good to reflect back. What did make this incident? Dan, you even said today, perhaps you weren't wearing the most supportive pair of shoes.
Because I had the one pair of shoes that I have is more my old crappy pair that I would wear out in the yard. And I used those like first thing in the morning to help Jennifer transfer in the morning, because I don't need to tie them. You know, I can just slip them on like well-soled slippers. But so maybe I was wearing those. And I think too, as you talk about, you know, me being weaker with, you know, the supposed crap gap. I mean, and when you're saying that you're not standing as well, but I just remember it wasn't you standing. It's like, I didn't even get you out of your chair before something happened. But it's like looking to see where you're at, what you're doing. And I think that's where, yeah, I was. And then there's always the evaluation of, did I use my proper lifting technique? Did I lift with my legs? And that's, you know, I wish I had a tally of like, since we've been married, how many transfers we've done. And I think that I've tweaked my back 3 times. And I mean, those are Hall of Fame numbers there for
those.
The
definitely,
performance of,
definitely. You're batting.
I can't even do the math.
I can't imagine.
But I think that's the thing that scared me then. As I'm injured, can't help you, because when we transfer you, you're standing for, you know, good, you know, 45 seconds a minute, as you know, I'm either pivoting or but then it's just like, if you're using the Hoyer lift and or sit to stand, you aren't standing on your own. And I was scared to death that you would lose that ability, that practice, that memory, that muscle memory to stand. And so I don't know about you, and I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, once then I was better and we were transferring you and stuff, did you notice it was harder at that point because you hadn't stood in a long time.
In all honesty, absolutely. Those first few transfers when you were helping me stand, I could not lock my knees and it felt foreign. And, you know, to use the sit to stand, I'm almost standing, but I'm still kind of not my hyperextended knees locked way. So those first couple stands with you, it was uncomfortable and I was unsure. And so that's like an advantage that thank God we had the sit to stand to get us through that week. But it's important to stretch and to, you know, just to keep those legs moving. Or I don't know what we would have done had we gone another week where we had to use the sit to stand.
That would have been tough. I think just you know, because then too that I wasn't necessarily able to help you stretch your legs, you know. And it's just I'm not blaming it all on the crap gap. I mean, it could just be the disease. It could, and I think that's a challenge that anybody, all of us living with MS have, is just everything is so unpredictable. And just when you think you understand or know what you could pinpoint it on, it's something else changes, or it's something that wasn't at all like that. And so maybe we say, oh, perfect storm, this is happening. Maybe it was time, you know.
It was time. And speaking of time, you know, you and I, we went to the MS walk in Frankenmuth, which is about hour and a half away from our house, hour away. And we made sure that the sit to stand rode with us. We took that to Frankenmuth in case, you know, heaven forbid something happened with Dan's back again. He would have that so that I could transfer. And when we go to Iowa, we will have that in the car. It's not a huge piece of equipment, but it's pretty darn valuable if something happens. And normally we try and drive the 9 hours to Iowa straight through, but we are older.
We learned our lesson.
And we have multiple sclerosis. And so it will cost a little more money, but it will be valuable to stop at, you know, the 4.5-5 hour mark just to get out so you can stretch. We can rest. And so we're not exhausted by the time we get to Iowa. So that's a tip if you are traveling with a chronic illness or with a disability. Don't overextend yourself. Don't wear yourself out. You know, you don't want to get where you're going and then say, oh, nice to be here. I'm going to go lay down now, if possible.
Let me ask this then, as we're, you know, the big trip is going to Iowa. And you are going to have your second infusion, your second round of infusion for this part of the cycle, if you will, for 2 weeks later. And you're going to have that the day we take off to go to Iowa. And we were thinking, okay, well, that's great, because then you will have your second round of the Rituxan. And you won't have to take it again for another 6 months. And also then before we take off that morning, when you get your IV and everything, you also are getting steroids. So then it's like we're thinking, oh, this is great, because then you're going to stand stronger and stuff. But I don't get my Ocrevus until like a week after we get back. And so then it's just a question, you're going to be riding strong, but I'm still in the middle of this proverbial crap gap.
So that's where we're gamblers. and that's just how we roll, and that we're trying this. And I mean, if we don't do it, I think we'll be very upset and very disappointed. It'll be interesting to talk about in another podcast how this trip goes. I think I'm hopeful it will go well, because it's a location we're going, where a hotel we've stayed at numerous times in Knockwood. It's very it's almost homish where we know where everything is. And boy, Dan,
And I think those are the things, but it's like, that's, I suppose, the lesson, or at least what I live with MS is like, you can't live in fear of what could happen, because then I don't think we ever would leave the house. And I
don't think you have to have multiple sclerosis to feel that way.
And that,
especially right now, if we live in fear of what could happen, none of us would leave the house.
Yeah, and I think, you know, obviously there's more that could go wrong when you're living with a chronic illness like MS. But I think that's the big thing, is just do the pre-planning and think, and what could go. I mean, we did that, we're doing that, and that's why, for better or worse, we're taking the sit to stand, and that could just be an added piece of equipment that just is just there along for the ride. But it's just having that safety net, and also then knowing that, you know, my family's back there, and so if things go terribly wrong, I have family that we can turn to. So it's always just always like plan, do what you can to plan for what could go wrong, but then give yourself the grace when something out of the blue happens, that you just, because obviously you can't plan for everything.
That's a good point. And we were lucky, we took that sit to stand with us to Frankenmuth, and we never had to use it. And I never heard you complain once having to push it out and push it back in. It was just a good thing to have, just that added security. Just call us Linus. That was our safety blanket. That was
our safety blanket.
So
wow. Yeah. Well, so there. That's our dealings with the crap gap. I mean, I'm glad that you're stronger. I'm glad that my back's better.
I am too, and I'm excited for you that you will be getting your Ocrevus infusion in just a few weeks,
and that you'll have your second round of the Rituxan. But for everybody out there, it's just like, yeah, pay attention to it, and just, you know, if you're having issues, talk to your neurologist about it. I think it's because it is, and they're still researching, but it is a real thing. So you can never be too sure. So until next time, I'm just trying to think. That's just like.
And do you find yourself mentally, see, this is, I know we're almost done.
Now you're calling me out.
I'm just calling you out. When you're mentally at the end of your, when it's been close to 6 months since your last infusion, do you find your mental to be a little slower, or your, Dan is nodding his head yes to those of you who are listening.
I think it's just there. I think then there's so many thoughts that are going on in your head. It's just like, it's just like categorizing, and it's like, which one do I say? I mean,
well, and it's proof. We've been diagnosed for over 20 years, both of us, but it changes all the time in the disease. You know, you have to be really conscious of what things are changing. And like you said, you just changed medication. I can't believe it's been almost probably three years
that I've been through it. I mean, and it's been a godsend, but you know, but then I think that this is maybe the first time that I've ever really encountered something that could be seen as the crap gap. Cause I think it is, you have like extra levels of fatigue, and it's like, but it's different because we say, you know, I'm busy with work, I'm busy with grad school and caregiving for you, but it's just like, it's a different level that, I mean, it's not necessarily, it's more intense, it's just different. And I think that's one thing that those of us with MS have a hard time doing, is trying to explain this to somebody who isn't so as blessed to have multiple sclerosis, but I mean, for anybody who isn't living with MS, it's just like, it's just different.
And it's that whole expression, if you know, you know.
Pretty much, yeah. So, but, well, then I will clear my thoughts, but yeah, I just think it was something worth saying. And until next time, we are A Couple Takes on MS. I'm Dan Digman, and I'm walking.
And I'm Jennifer Digman, and I'm rolling.
And we're A Couple Takes on MS, and together, we're moving forward. Take care.